Today's message is a continuation, part two, of Moses and the Ten Plagues. It's important that when we look at, we might say, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, the gods of the Egyptians were gods that they had put in place for things they didn't understand, basically. They didn't understand about the sun rising in the morning and going, it goes away at night. They were fearful. They didn't know that the planet, the earth was round and the planet, the earth is spinning around the sun and things. They didn't have a clue about that. So they made a god about, they made a god to the sun. They made a god to the Nile because the Nile River flooded. So they made gods of things that they didn't understand or considered that they were blessings to them. I always wondered, you know, when Joseph came to Egypt, there was just maybe 30 of them, maybe a maximum of 50. And then at 400 years later, they've outnumbered the Egyptians. Well, how is it? The Egyptians started out with this great number of people, and then in 400 years, they are afraid that the Israelites are going to overpower them. How did they come up with such a disparity? Well, this is a Dave McGeeism, but they probably sacrificed their children to their gods. They would sacrifice their children to the gods, to the Nile god, to the river god, to the sun god. They would, you know, so probably that's how they, one way they could have become less populated than the Israelites. But they had to defeat, in the plagues, God was defeating the gods of the Egyptians. Okay, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt have no other god before you. Now, I mentioned this in Sunday school, that there was one individual that I read about, and he was talking about it, that no other gods before you. It doesn't mean that, God Jehovah is God above all gods. But there were people who had other gods, like the Egyptians. Well, even today we have gods of personality, you know, publicity, of wealth, of pride, of, just watch television, you see these boastful people. They become their own gods and things that they worship. They worship their image. You know, so they have their image or their opinion, you know. They have their opinion out there, and their opinion is God to them, that people are supposed to listen to and follow it. So there are many gods that we would worship or that we hold in esteem that is greater than our, that we would, people would consider greater themselves. But God is telling us that he is God above all gods, that seek ye first the kingdom of God, just like the pyramid. God is the one we seek ye first, the kingdom of God in our life. All these things shall be added unto you. So the rest of life kind of fits down the scale from there, God being first. So the God of Israel is greater than all the other gods of the Egyptians. And it is important that Jehovah God, the God of Moses, defeat the Egyptian gods. And this is where we look at and we find the ten plagues. That each of the plagues defeats one of the Egyptian gods. So it isn't like I was watching some science thing, and it says that the River Nile turning to blood was a volcano that erupted someplace, and the ash from the volcano got in the river, and that's where it came from. Well, it doesn't. Well, what about the frogs and the lice and all these other things? Well, don't worry about that. But that's how the river turned red. So people try to imagine different ways that the plagues that came upon Israel were just natural things. And they are not natural because they are supernatural because they come against the gods of the Egyptians. Now, the 10 times God, through Moses, comes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says to them, who is this Lord you're talking about? Who is this God that you serve, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So what happens is, my God is bigger than your God. Pharaoh says, I'm God. Pharaoh considered himself, this was important, and I'll mention it again later, hopefully, that Ra, the sun god, that Pharaoh considered himself the sun, S-O-N, of the sun god, Ra, and so he was the son of God. And that he considered himself a god, and the people worshipped him as a god. And so whenever he is confronting Moses, he's using these other gods of the Egyptians kind of as a buffer, and God of Israel comes in and destroys each one of them in order and brings them to number 10, Pharaoh, in which he will be destroyed last. So it's important that, and they also consider the Egyptians says, okay, our gods are better than your gods because we rule your slaves, so your God can't be very big or very good, okay? So that's how they looked at it. My God, they considered themselves greater than the Israelite God because they were ruling over them. So first God we have is, and we talked about this last week, I won't spend a lot of time on it, hopefully. Well, that's page 3, 4. Where's page 1? Oh, there's page 1, page 2. Where's page 18? That was funny, huh? We'll be gone by 12, you know. One page for what? Oh, okay, one page for plague. Oh, but actually I have two people on one plague. No, two plagues on one page. Two plagues on one page. So the first god is Hapi, H-A-P-I, which is the Egyptian god of the Nile. Now, Hapi, there he is. So Hapi is the god who was responsible for the Nile overflowing. So it was kind of like, it was their way of replenishing, putting the silt and so on that had washed down from the northern, southern Egypt. The Nile River runs different than what we say north to south. It runs from south to north or east. West to east, east to west, I don't know. But anyhow, it's a river that flows the wrong way. And it would overflow every spring, and so the overflowing of the river was, they had to put a god in charge of that, because if they didn't have a god in charge of it, it wouldn't happen. So that's how they had the god who would provide the, as it were, the fertilizer, the new soil to grow. The second god, or the second plague that comes, is Hekethi. And it's always interesting, the different pictures that they have. You notice the head on this guy? It's a frog. He's the frog god. So Ninja Turtles are not too far off. So the Egyptian goddess of fertility, and the goddess had the head of a frog, and the frogs coming from the Nile River. It was important that we find that the Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel grow, so the second plague was the frogs that came up from the river. So here we have the Nile is defeated because the Nile god is defeated because of the blood that changes it to blood. And then the second is their fertility god, which is frogs. And there, the land was so filled with frogs, it was like one commentary had it said that there wasn't a square inch of the land that didn't have frogs on it. This third plague was Keb, and the god of the earth. And the god of the earth is the dust of the earth and so on. And so the plague was when Pharaoh, whenever Moses and Aaron they stretched out their rod and touched the dirt, all the dust turned into lice. So the whole place was filled with lice. And this was very important because the Egyptians, you always see them with their head shaved and then they have these wigs and so on. They shaved their heads because they were extremely clean. It was very important to them for their cleanliness and their hair and so on. So having lice was just a no-no. The fourth, if you want to know the in details of this, you have to go back to last week's sermon to get part one. So I'm just review here. The fourth plague is Khepri, and this is the swarms of flies. This is the God of creation, the movement of the sun and rebirth. He has the head of a fly. So the plagues related to the gods. So he has the head of a fly. And what happens here is, again, a swarm of flies. Pharaoh grew tired of the tactics, and he began bargaining with Moses and the Lord, and so God brought a swarm of flies. Now, number five is Hathor. And Hathor is the Egyptian goddess of love and protection and the plague of the death of the cattle and livestock. So this god is depicted as the head of a cow. They're not worshiping cow, but this god has the head of a cow. And so the plague is against the cattle. Upon the hand of the Lord fell upon the cattle and the livestock, and only the Egyptians were grievous. So what happens now in these last plagues is that it's like there's a line of demarcation, that the plagues fell upon the Egyptians, but not on the children of Israel. So you got flies, you know, being like, flies are on this aisle, over, but here, over, there are none. Why? Because there's the line of demarcation. They couldn't cross over. So you see, and when you see the images, then we start seeing how that God was picking their gods and destroying them. So they had a god of the cattle, and the cattle died. The livestock died. Well, plague number six, Isis. It's the Egyptian goddess of medicine and peace. The Egyptian plague was ashes turned to boils and sores. The sixth plague is given to the first time directly attacking the Egyptian people. All these other things were kind of a nature and kind of the things that supported them, supported the children of Israel. Came against the culture of the Egyptians. But now it says that bring the instruction of the Lord, being instructed by the Lord, Moses took ashes from the furnace of affliction. Now, the scripture says the furnace of affliction. Two things are mentioned in the commentaries. One says that the furnace of affliction, that the children of Israel their task was making bricks. And so the kiln that was the furnace of affliction could have been the kiln that the bricks were hardened and you know, made bricks out of them to build buildings. And another commentator said that the kiln was also a place where they sacrificed their children. So from the furnace of affliction, we find that he takes ashes from the furnace of affliction and throws it in the air, and it's a sign that God disperses these ashes over all of the Egyptians, and they break out in boils and sores. Now, as we mentioned with the Egyptians, that having cleanliness and always, you know, bathing and you know, taking good care of themselves, that the Egyptian society, this plague pronounced the people unclean. So when Pharaoh, up until this point, Pharaoh's had his magicians and his court, you know, come before him. But since they are all unclean and they can't do anything to get rid of their sores and their boils, they're not allowed to come before Pharaoh. So when Moses and Aaron, they are the only two before Pharaoh. Everybody else has sores, they're unclean, so they can't enter into the discussion. Number seven. The seventh god is Nut. N-U-T, Nut. He's not nuts, he is Nut. So he is the goddess of the sky. Nut is the goddess of the sky. Looks kind of normal. So, again, warning is given to enhance, to warn Pharaoh, you've got to let the people go or else something's going to happen. Well, sometimes the plagues were unannounced, like the boils and the sores. They were unannounced. Moses went and threw the dust in the air, and the boils and sores came. And again, he comes back to Pharaoh and says, hey, this is going to happen. Hail of unspeakable size and ability to destroy would rain down from the sky and turn to fire as it hits the ground. Now, you wouldn't think hail and fire would go together. But in this case, it's, you know, there again, we're looking at a sign from God. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. And what is God doing? He is destroying, systematically destroying the gods of the Egyptians. And whenever we look at our life, we need to realize God is greater than all of the things that are around us, all of the problems that face us. We are on a foundation that is, our faith is based in Christ, and He is the foundation of our life. The promised land that we live in is the promises of the Scripture, and the Scriptures become our foundation. So we don't have to have pride in ourselves. We just, in ourselves, are serving God to the best of our ability. So Moses is serving God to the best of his ability. Now, if you take the first 40 years of Moses, he's been trained to be Pharaoh. There's two of them. Moses and his half-brother he's considered his half-brother, but he's not. So Moses and half-brother are raised in the court of Pharaoh, and remember our Hatshepsut, that I don't need to sell it to you. You just get confused. But anyhow, Hatshepsut, her husband has a son to another concubine, and so Hatshepsut pulls Moses out of the river. So she's got a son. And so these two guys are in training to be the next Pharaoh. Well, 40 years into the training, Moses kills an Egyptian, and he runs and hides in the desert for 40 more years. So he's been, the first 40 years, he's being trained to be Pharaoh, God. That he is to think of himself as a god, descended from the Ra, descended from the gods that they worship. Well, he goes to the desert, and he finds out he's just a shepherd watching over flocks. So he's learning humility. He's learning that what he had learned in the Egyptian court was not what life was about. So he spent 40 years learning that. Then he goes back into the Egyptian court. So he would know how to handle himself when he entered the court to let my people go. So his training was not in vain. It was exactly how it needed to be. And so, you know, and people look at their life and say, oh, well, my life, I didn't do this, didn't do that. You don't know. Your life is not a mistake, because God made you and He created you for a purpose. And your purpose is still in the process. If your purpose is over, you're in heaven. You're not in heaven yet. It's too hot. So we have a purpose to fulfill. So the storm of hail and rain, and so we have the hail and the rain. And it's interesting enough, the crops that were destroyed by the hail and the rain were flax and barley. Now these crops did not affect the diet, but they were more of clothing and libation for their drinks. So this crop was destroyed here. Now, the time frame, this is another interesting part. The time frame for the beginning of the first plague to the end of the plagues is either, it goes from 4 to 6 months to a year. So they don't happen 1 week after the next. You know, next week we're having another plague. No, it was, you know, God had it set up, Pharaoh, the people, and, you know, just so the crops would be growing and so on. And different things would happen. So they were able to say that, well, that must just happen the way it is. So they were putting it off that God had created these things, and they really didn't have to let the people go. The eighth plague is the Egyptian god Seth. and the Egyptian god of storms and disorders. So the Egyptian god here, this is an interesting one. You don't have to find another one, but his nose is like the snout of an anteater. He has ears that are squared off. What else we got here? He has a canine look, slanted eyes. So he's kind of a mixture of many different animals. And so they made him, okay, how do you make a god? Well, you just kind of put them together. So, yeah. People, you know, what they did was they would take stones or wood and carve it out and say, this is our god. that's what these many of these gods look like. So he is a god of storms and disorder. So the plague, Pharaoh wouldn't listen to the message of Moses, and he relies on his own Egyptian god and goddesses. In the first couple plagues, the magicians were able to duplicate what Moses had done, the river, water turning to blood. The magicians could turn water into blood, all right? They couldn't undo. Chaos cannot undo chaos. God can turn peace into chaos, and he can turn chaos into peace. Evil cannot take chaos and create peace. Doesn't work. Evil does not have the power to stop its chaos. Only God has the power to stop the chaos. That's why prayer changes things. When we pray for events and people and things, we can stop the chaos, because God, who is the creator of the world, what happened? The world, everything was in chaos, and what happened? God spoke it into existence. It gave it purpose and form and shape. So, the eighth plague issued by the Lord had an even greater purpose than all the others. It would be felt so that Pharaoh would tell even his sons and sons' sons. So this is a mighty plague. And it was felt so that Pharaoh would tell his sons the mighty things that the Lord was teaching them, that the strong hand of God was upon the Egyptians. So, let my people go and they serve me. And, of course, Pharaoh didn't listen. And so there was this plague of locusts that came. And the plague of locusts hit the food source. Now, we had the plague of hail and fire, but this plague of locusts, the locusts ate everything that was green. Anything that was left over from the hailstorm, the locusts ate. So their food supply, everything was gone. It was wiped bare. So, you know, of course, Pharaoh, of course, doesn't listen. And this next plague is against Ra. Okay, there's Ra. Now, Ra is the sun god. He is a hawk, and the sun is seated upon his head. So, you know, the hawk flies in the sky, went underneath the sun, and oh, there's what Ra is. So, what happens next is that Moses, darkness comes, 3 days. Now, no light anywhere. And it says that the darkness was so intense that you could feel it. It was palatable. You could taste the darkness. And that people didn't move. It was so dark that people couldn't move. Think this. There's a line of demarcation. Where the children of Israel were, the sun was still shining. But that's light from the, you know, like we can see the light on the hill from someplace. That light from the children of Israel didn't make it to the Egyptians. They sat in darkness for 3 days. Why? Because God was conquering the god Ra, who is the sun god, who is the greatest of all the gods except Pharaoh. And Pharaoh considers himself the son of Ra, son of God, son of the god Ra. So we have this, you see, it's not between Moses and Pharaoh. It's between the gods of the Egyptians and the God of Moses. The gods of the Egyptians are nothing but stone and wood that people have created, and they worshiped them, sacrificed their kids to them. Everything depended upon the gods. But Moses is coming in and saying, God Jehovah that brought us to this land is now taking us out. So Pharaoh sends for Moses, and once the darkness repelled, and God lets it happen. So each of the gods has been defeated. Now the ultimate challenge is Pharaoh, the ultimate power of Egypt. And so there's Pharaoh. And you gotta understand, he is the most powerful person in the world. He has the greatest empire at the time. He has the greatest riches. He has the biggest army. He has the greatest amount of slaves. They didn't only have the Israelites. They had other peoples that they had conquered as slaves. The primary purpose of the Egyptians was to govern the slaves. They didn't have to do any work. They didn't have to do anything. They had slaves to do everything. So their primary responsibility was to get the slaves to do what they wanted. So everything was handled by slaves. So whenever you're talking about letting the children of Israel go out of Egypt, their whole economy is going to flatten out. It's going to go down to nothing because they can't do the work. They don't know how to do the work. For 400 years, well, probably about 130 years, the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, and they were very hard taskmasters because they didn't want to lose their workforce. And whenever you have a workforce that you don't have to pay, you can build empires. So when Pharaoh, we have Moses comes before Pharaoh, after the plague of darkness was lifted, Pharaoh resumed his position of bargaining with the Lord. And he offers Moses another deal. He says, you can go to the desert and you can offer your sacrifices, only leave your animals. All their animals were dead. It was one of the plagues. So their animals were dead. Their carts couldn't move. The food sources couldn't be transported. The grains were done because there was no way to transport anything. So Pharaoh says, you can go worship, just leave all your animals. Moses said no, and Pharaoh got all bent out of shape. And he says, he pronounced the last deadly plague. He pronounced the judgment of the last deadly plague upon the land from his very own lips. Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt surely die. That was the plague that came upon the children of Israel. And that brings us to Moses and what we refer to as Passover. This is a time that when Moses hears this, God speaks to him. And Moses said in Exodus 12, 29 to 30, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, and all there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor like it any more. So God has pronounced this judgment upon Pharaoh. Who is the greater God? God Jehovah. Pharaoh thinks he can defeat him. No. And so God presents a way for the children of Israel so that the angel of death will pass over the children of Israel. You take a lamb, you sacrifice it, You eat it, prepare it and eat it, but you take its blood and put over the doorpost of your home. And the angel of death that is coming will pass over the houses where the blood is. And anywhere the blood is not, the firstborn will die. That's where we have in ourselves when Christ is the Lamb of God. His blood is shed so that death no longer is part of who we are. Death no longer belongs to us. Our sins are forgiven. The blood of the Lamb is on our life, and eternal death passes over, has no part of us. And did you know that at the Seder, when the Jewish community celebrates Passover, they recite each of the plagues, and that they take their finger and they dip it into the wine, and that they put it on the plate next to their meal, and they do not celebrate pain that was brought upon the Egyptians. They celebrate God's hand of delivering them from Pharaoh. And so it's important that we understand who Jesus is. He is the one who conquers death, hell, and the grave. He is the one who is the foundation of our faith, that the gods of this world cannot compete with him. When Moses hears from God, what is the message God tells him? What is God's name that he gives to Moses? I am that I am. What do we have Jesus? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. The I am that was begun with Moses is completed in Christ. The blood of the Lamb that is upon the doorpost in Egypt that death would pass over is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who saves us and washes us away, and the death has no longer a part of our lives. So, Egypt, they would not let go of their gods, and God systematically destroyed all of them, the 10 major gods. And God has become that to us, that we need not serve any gods of this world, because God is greater than all of them. Amen? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that you shed for us, that our lives are established by the power of God, that death and sin have no part of us, and the world and its power has no power over us. So, Lord, we live free in the peace of God. We live free in the promises of God. We stand secure in our relationship with you. We thank you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, that promise you have given to us, and Lord, it is unconditional. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You are the greatest power. You are the greatest one, and you love us, and by your grace, you called us by name. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Any questions? I didn't even read the scriptures. I probably could have taken a month on this. But there's a lot of scriptures to go into fulfilling all of this. I didn't put it out there. But begins with Exodus chapter 7. I think it goes up to chapter 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. So it goes all of the different plagues and how they come about. So if you want to read them. But what I thought was interesting in all of this is that each of the plagues was against a specific god. You know? Sometimes we forget that, well, these are just plagues. Well, no, the plagues were against a specific god of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians believed that these gods were all powerful. And because the God of Israel, they're slaves. But God had a timing and a place and all that. So, Any other, you know, so that's some thoughts to put together with this. No other gods before you. Amen. You can leave.